Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Estonian Football Podcast. This is the end of season roundup. The season's finished. It's been a good season, exciting season, filled with controversy and quality, let's say, in the greatest league in the world. Once again, Martin, you've joined us. How are you doing?
I'm very good. As you said, it was a very good season. I think it was a very traumatic ending. but overall, it was very, very interesting.
I did have a look at our predictions. I was making graphics for our next one, and I was looking at our predictions, and it was absolute dog shit. I think you got 3 out of 10, and I got 2 out of 10, and Reese got 1 on it. I think you did. I say you got 1, or was it none?
Oh, fuck all.
Yeah,
I
but
was
it's.
looking into the predictions, like, I don't know, like a week ago, and I realized that we didn't do like a good job.
But I suppose that shows how unpredictable the league is, right? Not as predictable as some think it is.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, we all know it's the best league in the world, so it's so unpredictable, you know. So it's we, even though we it's funny that every season at the start, we think it's gonna be like this for sure till the end, but there's always something happening, something different.
I think with that, I'm sorry. I think with that, it like leads on to the fact that Flora won the league, which I was reading earlier on SoccerNet. No one predicted, out of all the journalists and all of that, from I think it was 19 journalists, 18 picked Lavadia, 1 picked Pajda. No one picked Flora. So for Flora to win the league, are we seeing it as a shock then, or are we seeing it as Flora are actually as good as the league table shows?
I think I think it's both. For sure, it's shock. I mean, a new coach who is not experienced as a coach, and then a team that's actually, let's be honest, it's on paper, it's not that strong compared to the competitors. So it's definitely, they were definitely underdogs, but it's not like they didn't have a chance to win at the start. Obviously, they still have quality, but they got some good like additions in the, you know, middle of the season, like Boom came, Greta joined, Sapinen slowly like found the rhythm again after the injury. So, I mean, the squad is still good, but obviously it's, yeah, like me, you, none of us predicted them to win the league. So it's definitely a little bit of a shock.
Do we think it's easier for them? They were the only team to get 12 points from each of the bottom four. So they've, we always talk about there's no easy game in football, but they've taken maximum points off everyone in the bottom four. That's obviously helped them, whereas everyone else has dropped points. Are those four teams like Flora, are those the ones where they're looking to mainly get the points from rather than looking at Kauju, Lavadia, Pajda?
Well, I remember when we had a Rogic as a coach in Levadia, and he told us that you win titles against the smaller teams. You know, you have to beat them. Obviously, like, let's be honest, you have to beat everybody, you know. But the games against smaller teams are very, very important, because I think it's easy for you to find motivation to fight against the bigger teams, because there are more people in the stands, there's bigger hype, maybe it's the game is televised on national TV and stuff like that. So obviously there's a little bit more hype, it's just easier to get yourself more motivated. So to be in the same spot, like mentally, against, for example, Tallinna Kalev and Harju or teams like that, it's much more difficult than people realize. So I think Flora has done an amazing job with that, and other teams have struggled.
Do you think there was a certain point in the season that turned it for them? I often look at when Lavadia lost to Pärnu in, was that August, when they lost 3-1? And then they kind of dipped. And then Flora just kind of went on that massive run after that. And, well, they took over on the top. Are things like that, so coming from a player yourself, do you look at teams around you? So I know a lot of coaches and stuff say it's in our hands, we've got to do what we got to do. But do players look at that, like when that game happened, when Levadia lost. Would Vasilev said they've lost, we have to win?
For some reason, I don't know why, but every time a team, for example, Levadia, Flora, Kalliopäivä, whoever, like they lose their European game, they struggle in the league. I don't know why it's like that. But yeah, as a player, I know that, you have to bounce back quickly, and I think the league, it's not that as easy as people think. It's not like you can be like play with 70% and you win against those smaller teams. So obviously you have to be concentrated, and if I see a competitor of us slipping, then like listen, we have to take advantage, and that's what Flora did.
I think that does kind of add, is it Mikko Ainsalu said, didn't he, that there was a lot of players that didn't step up for Levadia, confirmed he was leaving as well. Generally seemed pissed off with it all, which I can imagine. They were title favourites. It's got to be frustrating, I suppose, for those kind of experienced players in Levadia when you go in like that, especially after winning. What did they win the league by last season? 15 points, was it? Something like that.
Something about it.
Yeah, 15 points clear, and then go on to lose it by a point based on, mistakes, let's call it.
Yeah, I think what Ainsalu said, he said it well. I wasn't like really happy with what Larsen said. Like Larsen's interview came out as well in Delphi, I saw. And yeah, he was much more direct and said they weren't as united anymore and stuff. So I don't know why you tell it out loud to public. I'm not really agreeing with what he said, even if it was true, then you shouldn't say that out loud. Like the problems they had inside the team should stay inside the team, you should, if you every time you lose, you should be like respectful and honor it and say that, yeah, listen, other teams were better, and you deal with your stuff inside the dressing room. But yeah, like as you said, Ainsalu confirmed he's leaving. Other players have also confirmed that they're leaving, so it will be interesting dresser win.
With people leaving, obviously, Ainsalu, Sjolin Larsen, Aguirre's only there on loan, so he's going to go back. Levadia are going to be in some sort of, they're going to need new players, obviously. Can we say the same for Flora? Like, do we feel like, Sapanen scored 21 goals? Do we feel like he could have another go abroad? Poom as well. He's too good for Estonia. Is he gonna are like both teams gonna look different next season, or do you think Flora's are gonna try stay together more?
I mean, Sapinen is not. I think he's 29, so he's not that young anymore. But he's also not that old to start considering like a replacement for him. I think maybe, like I don't know him personally, so I'm just thinking right now. But I think he has the ambition to go abroad. But I think he's not rushing it. I think he knows how important he is for the team now, because the team is like a little bit of a rebuild right now. But yeah, I think that, like, listen, it's after every season, there's so many changes going to be with every single team. And I think Boom, for sure, I think he wants to go abroad, because he did well. I think he was disappointed that he came back. So yeah, there will be changes with many, every team. And I think Levadia will have the most changes for sure.
Talking about changes, you said Levadia have the most changes. I think the most important one would be the head coach. So he even come out and said there is a mutual option that they can walk away from each other, but he would like to stay, or whatever he said. What do you reckon? Now, I've been saying it on the last few podcasts that I think he'll go, and you'll give it a look.
I'm always, the thing is, I don't want the coaches to always like change, so I always want them to stay longer and build. And if you've had like a success, then why should you change it? Of course, if he wouldn't have won the title in 2, 3, 4 years, then obviously then you need to change. But so that's why I've always supported him. But yeah, it will be difficult. I think as just as a neutral who doesn't have any insight into about the coach's situation, then I think they will change the coach.
I personally would like to see him stay. You know, he's a big name in world football. You know, he played in a World Cup for Spain. Like, it's the kind of people Estonia needs to help, you know, in it. But yeah, I don't think he'll be there next season.
I
I
agree.
think it's yeah. I think because yeah, he's a big name, but I think whoever, if somebody's gonna replace him, then I think he will also be a big name. No way that Levadia will bring out an Estonia coach for a first team head coach. Maybe like Vladimir Vasilev was an option because he was the coach in the club previously, and he's like built himself up to be like a good coach now. But yeah, I think he will be, if he will be replaced, he will be someone from abroad for sure.
talking about Vasilev with Paida, they were second favourites for the title coming into the year, and they didn't even finish in the top three. They came fourth. They obviously started the season with Stojkovic. He ended up getting the boot. Brought in Vasilev. He kind of steadied it for a bit, but then Paida were doing Paida things where, you know, they'd get a result against like Kalju or whatever and then lose to Kalev. And how disappointing is it this year for Paida? Like, do we feel like they missed an opportunity with Levadia being poor?
I always feel disappointed with Paida. It's like something we've always said, isn't it? Like, we always see them kind of like as the Tottenham of Estonian football, where like there's all this hype at the start of the season. It's like, can they challenge? And then they kind of just trickle away. I think next year, especially with Vasilev, where he gets a full, I can't say full summer, full winter, you know, with the team, he can bring his own players in and whatever. They've got good base. I personally think though they didn't replace Sama when he left. You know, he topped the goal scoring for them. He was one below Miller in assists. So I feel like Sama was a huge miss and they didn't replace him and they need to find the next Robbie Sama.
What's interesting is that Paide is doing the, is having their YouTube channel when they're actually showing quite a lot about the insides of the club, and it's a little bit like from a player's perspective, it's a little bit like discouraging that Vladimir Vasilevs and the Stojkovic is like the way that they behave in front of the team is quite similar. They because like Vasilev learned under Rogic a lot. Who was Serbian? Stojković is Serbian, so they're very similar characteristics. And so Vova also has like learned about I think this type of style or this style, and then all the speeches and everything, it's quite similar to Stojković's. So as a player there, I'm obviously he has different tactics and different approaches, and he's not like exactly the same person. But they're quite similar. So I think for players, I don't know if they got like the full reset. Because if you have a coach that is approaches you completely differently, maybe it's not as hyped and as like the previous one, then I think it helps you more, you know. I think it helps you make a bigger change. But I agree with you. I think Boba needs a proper transfer window to bring his own players to need like to build the tactics and everything. So I think he will be still a great coach for the future.
And one thing as well we can talk about with Paida is the goalkeeper situation, right? It was you didn't know who the number one goalkeeper is, and you know they say defense wins championships as well, you know, and if you're constantly rotating your goalkeeper, it's not a good look. It probably does say the end for Yayu as well in Estonia. He's got to go now. I would have thought I can't see him wanting to hang about much longer, especially if they don't really trust him to be number one goalkeeper.
Like, if you bring in a foreigner, why do you bring him in? You bring him in because he's better than the like our guys, and also it is because you want to make a profit. I mean, especially for Paide, you know, that's why they bring them in. And for nobody wants to have like a foreign goalkeeper, I think. I think the club wanted to sell him in the summer. I think especially after the European games. Because like Meris played, and then all of a sudden for the European games it was Jarju. But yeah, I don't know why, but maybe it didn't work out. Maybe about the money, maybe about something else, I don't know. But for sure, I think they tried to sell him now, because I think there's no point. If you have such a good second keeper on the bench, then this makes no sense to have both of them in your squad.
We kind of bypassed Cao Yu as well, who I thought, well, I still do think, I think Cao Yu could be real title contenders next season. I think they're a complete unit, decent team from front to back. They got depth, a few, dodgy results, you could say, which could have, you could argue, cost them the title this year. They did run it close. You know, what was it, 6 points behind or something? Would you class Nama Kao Yu's season as successful? I know they finished second last year, but third this year, but they got more points this year. It's a successful season, right?
I think yeah. I think nobody expected them to beat Levadia. I think they were expected to beat Flora, but maybe not Paide. So I think everybody expected them to be third, and they finished third, just a little bit differently. You know, that Flora beat them, and but I think yeah. I don't think the title was them this season, because all. Also, the signings that they made, it was quite interesting, you know, especially so many players brought in from the clubs who were in the bottom of the table. So it was interesting decisions, but eventually I think it worked out. They did sign Guilherme as well, I think this season. I know it was this season. It was a great signing. So, and they lost him in, you know, halfway. So like we don't know what would have happened if he would have stayed. Speaking to a couple of the players inside, like they told that as well, that you know, after Guilherme's departure, then it was a little bit difficult. They had to maybe like everybody had to step up a little bit more, but they did their own, and they won the cup. Let's not forget, they won the cup. So I think overall they're happy with the season, and I think they want to push now for the title next season. Because I think they saw that, okay, Levada is vulnerable. Flora, I think, as well, I think they should compete with this Flora side. It's not that strong. So I think next season they want to win the title.
I think with Cao Yu as well is that they've got a lot of players on like longer term contracts, which is kind of like, for since we've been following Estonian football, it's not really been like heard of or seen of. You know, everyone's usually on like a 1 or 18 month deal or whatever. Do we, well, for me personally though, do you think this season they lacked like someone who could score the bulk of the goals? Their top goal scorer was Cask and Sit with nine. Manolan scored eight. He did well coming in. But do you feel like they need that proper goal scorer now to take them to that next step?
I think Manolan was a great signing. I really do. I think next season, yeah, he could be the one, not Alex Tam numbers, you know, when he scored that hatful of goals, but I do think he can score quite a few goals. But yeah, I do agree that they needed that goal scorer to replace Tam and like Promise David and Manolan. I think could be. I think he was a top signing, definitely.
Yeah, I think they're looking for a proper number nine as well, I think. I mean every time, especially those top four clubs, they're always looking for this number nine Because I think our league is good for a foreigner to to come and bully our defenders, because just genetically we are not that strong, We are Estonians, so if you bring in like a stronger big black dude basically, then I think it's kind of game over for us, unfortunately. So I think they're definitely in the market, but yeah, I think Manilan has done wonderfully. I think he's been very good signing for them, and he slotted in well. Listen, I've always wondered why Manilan hasn't had a chance before. He was in Flora's list, and he did so well with Kuressaare, so it was always crazy for me.
I often said that when he just finished his spell with Curra and then went to Gibraltar, I often found, similar kind of idea. Why wouldn't Flora give this guy a chance? He's shown he can do it in the league for a team like Curaçao. I mean, they did it with Reinkort, right? And Koskor when he did it with Temeke. Do you remember when Koskor was at Flora? That didn't work out. I know, but he was already their player, right? So why not just give it a go? And with Lepic's injury history, and it just made sense to me, but it's Kauyu's game, definitely.
Like there has to be some kind of inside reason. Maybe Manilan didn't want to play for them. Maybe just whoever was the coach, maybe Henner Vasilev wasn't really that interested in this style of play. I don't know, but yeah, for just when you were thinking about his qualities and stuff, then I think he deserves to be in the top club now, and I'm happy to see him play.
Cool. Talking about goal scorers, we're going to quickly go back to Flores. Sapanen topped the charts with 21. Do you think it was like the quietest 21 goal season, like seen? Like they seem to have like came out of nowhere, if that makes sense.
He was slowly picking them, but I'm so sad because, listen, Gabor has started the season so well, like so many hat tricks, and I was so looking forward to seeing like what's actually gonna be the number, and also for Narva, maybe at the end, a little later we're gonna speak about Narva, but we like he was the key man for them, and also Narva a little bit struggled since after he left. So I mean, what a season it could have been, if Guilherme would have stayed, if Cabora would have stayed, it would have been so interesting.
Something I'll bring up like towards the end, it's like the transfers that have happened for the foreigners or just players outside, like the money made from these players. But I want to bring up something from the season preview where I said Bashir will be the top goal scorer. And then there was this nice little claim where you said he won't score more than Koskor. So I'm just bringing that up now because yeah, it was a nice gloat for me, but yeah.
I mean, predicting that Bashir will score like 20 plus goals is a little bit brave, because knowing that he gets so many red cards that he's going to miss so many games.
He did. He missed half the season, didn't he? Because he left. But it was, he still scored. I think he finished on 12 or something. So he had a good year. He deserved the move. So yeah, good for him.
I'm going to jump to Narva. Let me say they started brilliantly, like you said, with Cabora, and we were even talking, saying, can they break into these European places? And there was a point in the season where, yeah, it was looking like shit, they might do this. Said Cabora left in big loss. I don't know if it was the exact date he left, but the spell, they beat Tolina Kalev. What was the score in that? 2-0 in, I want to say, August or July or something. And then after that, they only won one game for the rest of the season. And that was also against Tolina Kalev. They had didn't score a goal in the final four games. And it was a disastrous end to the season. I feel like I want to say it's typical Narva.
Yeah, but I think overall they're happy with the season, because I think season was great. I mean, because when I was there from 2020 to 2023, then yeah, we had a good team, but we didn't manage to step up and, you know, fight for the fifth place, for example, you know. And but like, listen, they had such a good preseason. I remember, I think they lost the final game of the preseason, and then Kozlowski said that it's good that they lost finally, something like that. And then they played so well, and but again, I don't know why, but with Narva, it's something happens like in the summer where just I don't know if it's they're tired or whatever it is, like they don't manage to be there all of the season. And I think if you want to compete for the European spot, you have to be there, you have to be consistent, and you have to fight absolutely till the final game of the season.
Do you think it was the new pitch? Like they're not used to a decent pitch and they're used to playing on the
I don't know,
crappy
maybe.
pitch.
Listen, I would have loved to play on the new pitch for sure. I don't know. I don't let's be honest. I think they love to play on the new pitch. But maybe we have to bring Ilya on the pod sometime. Maybe he can talk about the insides of Narva. Maybe he has some kind of info. What has changed? Maybe he has a little bit more to tell us.
And we'd have to put a lot of bleeping in it because it would be like all of everyone's shit and like all that stuff.
But at least you're gonna get the raw truth, you know.
Yeah, that's true. I think with this Narva team, though, obviously it's the first season where Roman's been the coach. There seems to be, or what feels like, a bit more stability. Whereas, with previous Narva years, it's always a different 25 players every year, pretty much. With this one, it seems like the bulk are going to be staying for like something to build on. Do we feel like they've like fifth is their ceiling at the moment? We don't think they're going to have like kind of like a Temeca season next year where they'll basically implode. They seem like they've got that stability there with decent players.
I think you're talking about the stem. I think Max Simkin leaves to Cal U this year, next year. I'm just gonna say it. I think he goes to Cal U. But yeah, I they'll be fine, I think. I think that yeah, they're a good team. And Agapsev, who joined from Cal U, he's been a hell of a signing. He's kind of gone about it very quietly as well. I think he's been brilliant.
Yeah, and they've already, yeah, I think, listen, Kozlovsky just first season, so it will get better. They've all already, I think it was in the news that they canceled the two contracts with Bondar and Correa. I mean, both players who were actually, they looked quite sharp when they joined, but I think just the competition is just so high in the team as well. And squad depth is now much bigger than it's been before. So it's a little bit harder to break in the squad. With Maksimkin, I think every possible hint says that he might go as well to Kalju, maybe because of the surname. But yeah, let's see. It'll be definitely interesting. And but I think they have the quality to fight for the fourth post position. Like it's not a joke. We're not just saying that. I'm not just saying that to be interesting, you know. They actually have the quality. But one thing is to have the quality, and the other thing is actually to perform every single game. And that's what's lacking. But maybe they can get Gero permanently. I don't know who will be Levada's new coach. Like maybe he doesn't want Gero, then listen, Gero would be a great signing for Narva. You know, I think if Campagna, I don't know if Campagna stays, I think he's a great defender. There's so many good players. So I think, yeah, why not fight for fourth position?
What do we like for Narva then? Do we feel like what is their weakest position? Like if they were to like push on. Obviously they scored goals with Cabora, who was like mainly the winger. Doka's was like decent, but obviously he's a different player to Cabora. Midfield seems good, defense isn't bad, they've seemed to have got that nice defensive centre back partnership. Matrosov's okay, but I feel like he does make a lot of mistakes. Do we feel like the goalkeeper is that position that could be looked at?
I was just about to say that. It was weird because they kind of went for the young goalkeeper at the end of the season, didn't they? That was it, Zaharov, was it? Yeah, and that's ahead of Kryzmir as well. Interesting. I'm not sure what why you would do that unless you've got big plans for him, right?
Yeah, I mean, to play your third goalkeeper is it's a little bit strange move. I'm not saying he doesn't deserve that because maybe he's trained well, maybe he deserves a chance, I don't know. But but it's not like Narva had nothing to play for. They still were fighting for the fifth position. They were just, all lucky that Parma was also having a terrible end of the season after having an amazing, run. I think attack is strong. I honestly think attack is so strong. I think midfield as well, if they can keep Schlein, if they can keep Maximkin, if they can keep Agap, players, I think they're strong. They have Iri and Poljakko, who is maybe not the regular starters anymore, but they still have the experience and they can come in as a sub to, to protect the game, to keep the game if they're ahead. I think defense is also it's okay. If we're talking about fighting for fourth position, I think it's decent. I agree with you. I think goalkeeper is, I think, like a if, the thing is you need to have as a player, if I know that in the goal I don't need to worry. I know that whatever happens, will it be a long ball, will it be a cross, is it a corner? I know that my keeper will absolutely dominate this area, then I'm so confident. I don't know if the players are actually, having this feeling right now, because they change. For example, they're changing the goalkeepers. That's a bad sign. One time he's playing Matrosov, then Kreismer, then a third goalkeeper, and if any of them plays, then every now and then comes like a small mistake which leads to a goal. So maybe you had to look into goalkeeper department. But as I said, to bring in a foreigner goalkeeper is a little bit waste of a foreigner spot, in my opinion, and to find like a good Estonian goalkeeper is quite difficult in our market.
Yeah, I agree. You touched on Vapras there. Vapras finished sixth. It was a big improvement from last season, 14 points more from last season. Decent. I suppose the main story with Vapras is Paulberg, 15 goals, Estonia cap in the latest Estonia squad. I suppose you would have played with him briefly, right? Maybe seen him training or whatever.
Yeah, he was training with the team. He did get, I think he did get some games when I was there. Yeah, as a sub, Kauber was still the main guy. Yeah, I mean, listen, he was training well. Obviously, I wasn't. You could see that he's so young, but he had the speed. He had like you can see that in the goal. He in front of the goal, he had the know-how, how to finish. But it was still raw because as a young player, that's normal. Yeah, maybe to be honest, like if I'm completely honest, I wouldn't have thought that he would make such a jump so early. Which like again shows what a great job Prince has been doing with him and all the coaches and like everybody. So yeah, he's definitely like the player that comes up when we talk about Vapros. But there's everybody. I mean, Bayo made a great season. Kapper was amazing. He had to play midfield, who it's not his position. Nobody in the media talks about Kapper playing in midfield. That's a new position, but he's playing well. Kevin was great as a left back. I think Jonas Hild as well was great as a right back. So everybody played well.
I think with Paulberg, the first few games you could tell that he was like so raw, right? But for me watching him as the season's gone on, he's like turned into like a footballer. Like what I'm trying to say is that when he first started playing at the start of the season, he didn't really move like a footballer, if that makes sense. But like as the season's gone on, he now looks like the real deal, so to speak. In terms of Kappa, I think he's extremely underrated. He's actually on my a little spoiler. He's actually on my subs bench in the team of the season. So it's no journalist might not mention him in Estonia, but the EFP do. I think that's
Yeah, well, we like the bottom six. That's what it's all about. These players that don't
important.
get mentioned, we were here to bring him up. Talking about Payet a minute, you said he was there on loan. Do you think there's a possibility he goes there, goes back there, or because I can't, I think he's a top player, you can see it, but you know, with Flora, I feel like if he goes to Flora, he's playing Essendon next year, right? He's playing for the under 21s. I can't see him being, except, you know, like he'll come on off the bench for a couple of minutes. Surely he's got to play more minutes in Premier League, and he's playing well in Vapras. Surely they might try and go again for him.
Okay. Would Payet make a Flora team better? I think he would. Would is Payet better than Teivali? I think he is. Who is who, you're not agreeing with me.
I'm just biased. I love Tavali. I think, yeah. That's just Caliph
But
bias coming through.
listen, Teivali, he is good, but I mean Payet is different. But with Payet again, he needs. It's similar to me in terms of he needs his freedom to move around. I don't know how much Vasiliev is giving the players the freedom. Prince is more like with Prince, it's listen, with defense, you have to work. There's even if Messi is on the pitch, then Prince shouts at him, run back, you know. But with the ball, Payet has the freedom to move around. I don't know with Kostya's style, maybe it doesn't suit there. But I personally hope, yes, of course, I have no relation with Flora, and obviously, I would love to see him in Vapors and again help the club. But personally, obviously, I want him to play for the big teams to play in Europe and stuff like that. So I hope to see him go back to Flora. Maybe why not go abroad if he has a chance? But yeah, I think, like, listen, there's nothing to do for with the like for Vapros. They have to just hope that Flora doesn't want him.
We talked briefly that they ended their season quite poorly, and we've often said in past episodes as well that a few years ago Vapras were dead set for finishing bottom and shipping a load of goals, and Prince has come in and steadied the ship, and they've got them competing and they're a half decent side. Have they reached their ceiling though? Do you feel there is that extra push to, you know, good, like we've said with Narva, you can see the quality in the squad that can go for the European places. Could you eventually see that with Vapras after the few seasons they've had?
Like with this squad, yes, I think this is the max. I think obviously, yeah, they could have. I think they could have beaten Narva, so I'm not saying like sixth position is the max. I think like could have got fifth, but to, I think the obviously knowing the players and especially the experienced ones there, they want to help the team to reach the European spot. But I think the squad right now, I think they're a little bit missing some key players. Especially, I think Palberg is leaving, so they need a proper number nine. I think Kober has been doing great. He's okay apart from this season, but every other season that he's been the best goal scorer in the team. So yeah, they need some like genuine strong signings, like for what Narva did. They brought in Schlein, you know, like a proper player who knows the league, who is experienced in the league. They know they need this type of players to help the club to climb up in the table. And now it's just the clubs, you know, how much are they willing to invest and spend to fight for the fourth position? Because it doesn't just happen naturally. It's not like, okay, we had a good season, let's keep the same squad, and we're definitely not going to be worse last season, and maybe we're going to get better. That's not going to happen. They will drop off. So you need fresh blood, you need new players, and you need much better players now.
Yeah, I get that. How are you? Finished seventh all year. You've been saying that they were going to finish bottom. Is that, would you say that's a credit to Haryu for how well they've played, or would you say it's the teams beneath them not being great.
I mean, maybe it's credit to whoever decided to change the stadium or renovate the stadium, because to have like, I don't know, like 10 games at home at the end maybe helped them. But no, listen, obviously I will be the first one to say if I made a bad prediction, then obviously yeah, I predicted them to be last, and they did very well. Like obviously to play home it helped. I mean the atmosphere and the new stadium and everyone was so hyped, but let's be honest, the way they played was great. I think every team were struggling with them, and they deserve to be where they are. You know, I think they had a great season. Erma was again like stepped up. I think Gries was again had a good season. I think even Järve in the defense was also decent. I mean there are so many players who had like a I don't know if it's like a breakthrough season, but it's still okay apart from Erma. But yeah, they played the way that they like they played their maximum, I think, like a lot of the players. And credit to them to finish seventh.
I think adding on the players who you've mentioned, I even think you could mention Christopher Pitt, who, he's done like nothing for like the last couple of years, and he's stepped up. Boehm's been out, and he's stepped up and scored some goals, got some assists, and been a top player. There seems to be like a togetherness with him as well. Like, I think they've done really well, and signing Sillamaa, which is just a crazy sign. I can't believe they signed him. I just think that's a crazy signing. And it's again, like what you were saying earlier, it's not till the end of the season. They've got him long. I'm sure they'll probably try sell him on abroad for some money, but what a signing. His goals, I think signing him is what kept them up. That's what I'm gonna say.
Yeah, I mean, Sillamäe has been great. Yeah, obviously I said only a couple of players, but Sillamäe has been amazing. And yeah, he's I think one of the key guys in the. Of course, everybody talks about Erma because just about the numbers, but I think Sillamäe has been equally important. And yeah, as you said, it will be interesting if the players will stay in or they will leave.
So this is what I was gonna say. Is this something they can build on for next season? Obviously, you've got Nomad United coming up from the Essen-Liga. I read an interview with Beglashvili. He said right now, Nomad United can't compete in the Premier League with the squad that they have. I remember you saying a couple of months ago that pretty much a similar thing that they were good in the S-Liga, but Premier League wise there's that gap. Is that good news for Haju? Do you think they can like still compete with that in the Premier League now?
Well, Nîmes United did knock Haju out in the cup. So definitely like a one-off game, I think Nîmes United is good. And especially with Beglashvili, I think the whole game is based around him. Frolov is good, but if you look at the way that they play, that he's not that involved. He's not actually making such a contribute than people maybe think. But he's still like for sure, he brings this type of like calm to the team. But yeah, I agree with Beglashvili. Like, listen, I from my experience as well playing for Elva this season, then the gap is huge for with Premier League and Eccellenza, and the way they played, it will be very very hard for them. And like I personally like that's just my opinion, but I don't think Beglashvili will represent the United next season. So if that's happening, then they will struggle even more.
Just talking about Haju, I remember I sent a text after watching that Haju Nomad United game, and it actually said Haju looked bad. Nomad United looked miles ahead of him actually in that game, but say it's a one-off game, like Haju also beat Vida 3-0 in the season and
Yeah.
looked
I
really
mean,
good. And
we also had a good, great fight with Kalev in the cup, you know.
yeah.
I mean, okay, let's be honest. I think us and Kalev actually the level is not that far apart. Especially we had like a really such a half squad. But yeah, the gap is huge. Let's be honest. It's well, the thing is, whoever comes up from the Premier League, from the AC Liga to the Prem, they will struggle if they don't make like a big signings. So that's why even VMC, I think now VMC, okay, we're gonna get talk about it later, but VMC will gonna play Kuressaare, and if they win, then listen, they will struggle so much in Prem. So it will be interesting.
So, talking about Vimsi, yeah. So the bottom three clubs, I feel like it's just been horrible, like Temeke, Kura, Kalev. But Norma United, when they were last up last season, they actually got less points than this Tolina Kalev team, right? Which goes to show just like how poor that Norma United team was, because this Kalev team has stunk. You know, they've been horrible, right? Temeke winning on the final day against Narva lifted them out of the relegation playoff. And we've been discussing this for the week. We were saying Temeke probably beat Vimpsi, but now Kura are in it. It kind of gets a bit more interesting, right?
Yeah, I messaged you saying that I think VMC have higher chance against Kuressaare than they would have had against Tamaka. Listen, as a again as a neutral, I have no relation to the, any of the clubs, but it's good that Tamaka stayed up because there's a team in Tartu, not in Tallinn. So there's so many teams coming up from Tallinn now. Nîmes United, maybe even VMC. You know? So it will be sad, I just hope that whenever it's the playoff games, I don't even know the exact date.
I think Pajunen done an interview and he said, you've got me till like the 29th or something. So it's going to be right at the end of the month.
Okay.
I
Yeah,
think I might have, yeah, it might have been translated wrong, but it was something like
I just hope it's not snowing again,
that.
and they can actually play football.
I was actually looking at the relegation things from last season and obviously, Vimpsi had Kalev, didn't they? And it was 2-1 on aggregate. First leg was 1-1, and then Kalev won the second leg 1-0, and it was a Karl Rommert Nom own goal that kept Kalev up. So, you know, we're saying that, you know, Vimpsi, they do have a chance. But if we talk about Premier League, that's what we're here for. Temeke's season, blimey, bad, wasn't it? From last year, 5th place to 8th, staying, well, I say staying up in with inverted commas, but I don't even know what to say. It was just horrible.
But it's not like their squad is bad. If you look at the squad, they have a great squad and even got good additions. You know, Järvelaid is a good player. Leeds is a good player. So, I mean, it's I don't know. I don't know. Maybe it's something inside the club. Maybe something is not clicking. But it's baffling. Yeah, I don't even know what to say about the team. I don't know what happened. Let's just hope it doesn't happen next season.
I read there was Marion Meal. He said something like a lot of the players were, again, I could have translated this wrong. A lot of the players were going into games expecting the worst. You know, they went on a run where they couldn't win, and then instead of, you know, being motivated, it was just more like, okay, when's the first goal gonna come? And then like they can see the goal and it's like, okay, we've lost. So there's obviously like a mindset problem there. Which obviously isn't good if you want to play top flight football, but if you want to play any football, so might seem like they need to get rid of like maybe a couple of those players who are acting that way or who have that mindset. And because yeah, I like that, and yeah, I like Temeke being in the Premier League, so it'd be a shame to see them like drop out of it.
Like if that's true, then okay. As a player, I'm aware we had. I think in during Arva days it was quite similar. We had a tough run, and every time like okay, we were hyped about the new game. We tried to do well, and then again we like conceded an early goal, and then again the mood was down. But I think what you said, what Mil told, if this type of run is happening, that okay. you're not even scoring goals and it's always losing. I think that's where like the man management has to come into play, about like the coaches or the captain make some kind of a team building things, maybe get together, maybe just forget about football for a day, you know. Let's go play a golf, let's have a meal together, whatever. Maybe they did it, I don't know. But you have to find the ways to change the situation, not just train, train, train and game, because I think it will just, you know, ball up and just be the same thing every week.
I know it's not the same in Estonia, but like if a team, let's say Wolves in the Premier League, for example, who are haven't won a game this season, we can just imagine them all going out for a meal for a team building, and then like the fans going, "Ah, you haven't won a game and you're out enjoying yourselves," you know,
We are in Estonia. We don't have the like.
like.
Listen, the thing is, I've always said, like, if you think you're like a great player or like a famous person, like in Estonia, then you're nobody. Listen, in the world, you're nobody. Whoever, even if I think that Ragnar Klavan can come to Tartu and have a dinner, and nobody will even notice him, or they will just see him from afar and just say, "Oh, maybe that's Klavan," you know. But we are not that type of people that we're gonna see the old Tammek guys having a dinner together in this restaurant, and let's just shout in the face and listen, what the heck are you doing? Why are you not winning? It's not our culture. So but in England I can understand, but not in Estonia.
They even had that horrible loss, didn't they, to Vaprus, 8-1. That's
Yeah, I think they had two big losses against Vaprus.
Vaprus beat them. They beat them four times, Vaprus. They'd done the clean sweep. It was 5-0, 2-1, 8-1, 4-1.
Yeah, it's
So
crazy.
but next year is a new year. We'll see what they do, because they do like to bring in a foreign player as well. So be
Yeah.
interesting to see who they bring in, and they'll have some money from Bashir as well, of course, which, well, that's probably paying. Did they do their pitch as well? Are they doing their pitch? They're fundraising, aren't they? Are they?
Yeah, I think they changed it. I think they already changed it.
Because they were
I
playing on the artificial, weren't they?
did I play on the pitch already in EasyLiga? That's a good question, because we did play against Tameka, and maybe it was a new pitch. I think it was a new pitch. So yeah, they've changed it. Yeah.
But there's optimism, and obviously Voko Su has gone there to help with community-based thing, I think he's there for, isn't he? So, you
Well,
know,
he can't put the ball in the net, so he like
no,
the players have to step up.
but he can create a positive atmosphere.
That's true.
Right, that's enough about Temeca. The Premier League team for 2026. Telina Kalev aren't. They were confirmed down a long time ago. Oh, horrible season. They had that spell where they won back-to-back games, which was against Temeca and Haiu way back in July. And there was kind of, right, let's build on this and let's push forward. And they didn't win a game after that. Lost 14 of them, drew one. Terrible, horrible season.
But it's not like they didn't try. They did make signings. They made quite a few signings. So I think they still fought till the end to, you know, at least stay in the league.
Right, sorry. You went to talk. I feel like the atmosphere around the club didn't help. You know, there was a lot of controversy going on. You know, there was, you know, Joel and Per got let go, let's say, amongst other things of what he allegedly has done with the club. Klavan was focused on his presidential run as well, which probably didn't help the club as well. I think it took them too long to get rid of Teemu Taineo. I think he probably should have gone at the end of last season. I don't think he was a right fit. Other than that, if you look at bright sparks, Tanner Wooster, right? 13 goals, kept running. But I just don't think, yeah, it just didn't work for them. Like, the signings were bad. The goalkeepers were bad. You know, over 100 goals conceded. And next year, obviously, they've got the, what do they call it? The youth revolution, wasn't it? With all the new coaches they're bringing in and focusing on the youth players, and a lot of first team players are going and only a couple are staying. So it'd be an interesting season for them in S Liga.
Yeah, they changed completely their like structure, some kind of work between like Biden and Kalev and maybe even BMC. I think the trio seems like it's happening. So yeah, I mean obviously I think it's sad because Kalev is a big name, big club actually. So to be like in Esiliiga is not good. But yeah, I think that's what happens if the key okay Glavan, okay did he did play a couple of games, but did he play this season? No,
No.
he didn't play. But okay, he wasn't like on the pitch. But I mean, if he's still like an important person is missing who should run the club, then it goes downhill. So it's yes, he had his election. And I think most of the community supported him, wanted him to win. But he still needs to focus on your club as well. Yeah, it'll be interesting what's happening with the football podcast as well, because you guys are connected with it. Maybe your banner's in Easy League now.
Yeah, and something, you know, we've voluntarily been running the Kalev Twitter account as well. You know, we were asked to help out, and we've done it. And you know, we've asked, do you want us to do it next year? I've got big ideas to try and help push and help promote. And we're told we'll see. So it's interesting times.
Yeah, but listen, there's a new futsal team, so all the eyes are on maybe on that one.
Yeah, who are they? Because that wasn't brought up last time.
Maybe we finish the Premier League at first.
I think are we happy to talk about, because you wanted to talk about some stuff that you've noticed on the season, didn't you?
Yeah, basically there's a couple of pros, couple of cons for the season, which basically shapes the league as a whole. The main big one was the player sales who went abroad. Paida, Kalyu, Narva, Temeke and Haju all made decent money by selling Estonians and foreigners abroad. Robbie Sarma, Mohamed Suso went to Pardubice. Paras Ancor went to Strader, all in Slovakia. Robbie Sarma is the most expensive Estonian player in Paide's history to be sold. And Suso is almost as big of a sale as Cisse's was to St. Pauli. Kalyu obviously sold Guillaume to USG, same club as Promised David. And it was a club record sell. So as well, Cabore went to Hearts in Scotland, confirmed that the fee was six figures. Bashir went to Start, no idea on the fee on that one, but I can imagine it was a nice fee. And Haju sold Martin Jose to the Slovenian top division, and they got around 30,000 for him, which the Haju sporting director said, you know, that's for Haju, that's a shit ton of money, so we take it. So it's nice to see that clubs all up and down the league are having their players noticed and getting a nice transfer fee for them.
But I think also, okay, we're talking about record sales. Obviously, the player's quality comes into play as well. But I think years go on, I think then the records will get broken anyway because just about the money in football is just going bigger and bigger. So the teams have more money every season. I mean the teams from abroad. So even for example like Sarma's quality player 5 years from now maybe is like double the money, you know. So I don't think we should maybe focus on the record part that much, but the truth is that there's been so many sales and it's great. And not just foreigners but Estonian players as well, which I'm happy about. Because as I've said, it's not easy for Estonian to go away. And now obviously I think Larsen is leaving. I think to Scotland. And Ainsalo probably again, but I think his contract ran out, so maybe he's not going for free. Paul Berg again, he's going abroad. So I think Vaprus has gonna make their record sale for sure, because I don't think they've sold anybody. So yeah, I think even though some clubs may be disappointed about the league position at the end, I think they will be happy about the sales, you know. For example, like Tammeko, you know, they had a very bad season, but they did sell Basher, so it's like it's pros and cons.
Yeah.
What about the general infrastructure then, if we talk about that? So several clubs made upgrades to their stadium. So obviously Narva famously relaid their pitch after 30 odd years, which is FIFA quality. A lot of people criticize the pitch being unsafe and, you know, just nasty to play on. Haju, which we spoke about as well. They relayed their pitch. They also built a new grandstand as well on the side of the pitch. And Temeke done their crowdfunding campaign as well, which done the pitch at the Coupe Stadium. Is that a step forward as well, would you see, for Estonia?
Step forward in what way?
Well, because I often feel like, you know, let's talk about, you know, the Narva pitch, for example. It was a long time coming. I know it costs a lot of money, and these clubs don't have, it was something like 300,000-400,000 euros, wasn't it? I know it's a lot of money. But to see the clubs actively looking to improve, and it's got to be a positive, right?
I think it goes back to when we spoke to Brent Lepestu, and he said it's hard to take Estonian football seriously when you're trying to make highlight reels for clubs abroad to see you, and there's just a train going along in the background with no stand, right? Referring to the Sportland. So I feel like the clubs actually building to make the infrastructure better is like a good thing. Obviously, it's going to take time to make it that, or probably won't ever happen because of the football being in Estonia not the number one sport. But I think it's a good thing that now it's clubs are actually making an effort to make that change.
I mean, you said it well. I mean, well, Lepistö said everything right. I agree with him. I think the new turfs, it was their correct move. I think the players, I mean, the chance of getting injured is far, far less. The players enjoy playing on them much, much more. I think even the fans, they turn up in Harju Stadium, they enjoy it much, much more. When it's raining, they have a dry place to be. But it hasn't changed the fact that, again, if somebody watches our league, it still looks the same. I mean, if you look at the Fama Stadium, you can see those old buildings in the background, but it's just a nice turf pitch. If you watch Harjus, then yes, it's a nice stadium with a small stand, but in the background, there's some gray houses and the parking lot and the cars. And it's still like, it doesn't change the fact that if, like, scout or whoever watches the league is now gonna take it seriously. Nothing has changed. If I say to my Italian friends, like, listen, we have a new stadium, with listen, check it out, then they will still say the same thing, that listen, what is this? But yeah, but let's be honest, it is a step up. It's the first move, we need to. I don't know if it's ever gonna happen, unfortunately. I really hope it does. So we can have like a proper stadium, so with like real actually stands, like a circular or whatever, to cover all the sides. But that's such a big project, and I don't think any of the clubs will ever have the money to do it.
Fair enough. Let's move on to then something a bit negative that costs 300,000 euros a year in Estonia. VAR. It's third season, I believe, in Estonia. It has an overall negative public image. The referee chief of Estonia often comes in and does explanations on some kind of podcast about wrong decisions, but people still can't buy into it. Ragnar Klavan's come in and questioning why are we paying 300,000 euros a year for it when it clearly doesn't work. Controversies this year, there's been incorrect penalties for Kyocera Harju, Harju Pider, Kyocera Flora, plus a red card for Kalev, which shouldn't have been a red card. And of course, the big one, which had implications in the title race and Pider's third place finish, is Pider's disallowed goal when they drew 1-1 with Flora a couple of weeks ago. We can always talk, we could talk hours about VAR, but are we kind of in agreement with Klavan where scrapping it's a good idea for next season?
Yes, pin it. I mean, okay, why was the VAR brought in? It was brought in, I think it was because to keep up with other leagues and to help the referees, because if they can't be officiated in the European games because there will be VAR, so we need VAR in our league for them to have the license and the experience to be a referee in the game.
I think the one thing in Estonia is they rely on it too much. I feel like everything you're watching a game on Soccernet, for example, and you don't even notice anything. And in the top corner of the screen, you've got that VAR's checking something, and it seems to be all the time. And
That's a little bit misleading. I think, for example, I think if okay, I'm watching English Premier League the most. I think they are checking all the time, like in corner situations, if the ball is cleared out and if it goes goal kick. I think they're checking, but I don't think that the message is coming on the screen because I think they're always checking. But I think that's just the difference in our league is that they will always pop up the message that, listen, we are checking. They should be checking every single minute, every single second, you know. That's, I don't know why they're giving that message.
I think the main problem is that it takes too long as well, the and that they always make sometimes reverse the decision to make it the wrong decision. I was making a video of every red card in the league this season. And like some of them I'm looking at, I'm like, what? So it's like, they say the decision making is just wrong, like from whoever's in the booth to whoever's on the pitch. And for me, I think you should have a specific qualification to be able to handle being in the booth.
Going to what you say about taking too long, there was that game earlier in the season. I can't remember who it was between, but I made that Instagram reel. I think it took 3.5 minutes for the referee to be told in his ear they're checking it before he actually went and looked at the screen. This isn't just Estonia VAR now. This is just general VAR now. Me personally, I don't like it at all. I think you should allow human error. I think it takes the emotion out of the game. You go celebrate a goal and then you're waiting to see if the linesman's going to put his flag up or the referee just to wait 2 minutes. This is beyond Estonia. I think you've got to allow human error. Get back to calling the referee a wanker when he does something, like proper football.
I think if you are going to have VAR, if you're going to make a decision through it, it has to be 100% correct. Otherwise, you're defeating the purpose of having that human error. Just play on if you're going to be like that.
I think that I think also that the people in charge of the VAR and who was making the decisions, they're not up to the standard, you know. That's the sad thing. And I think they're just, I don't think even they know how they should decide and when should they like step up and maybe make a decision. I listen, in this season in Esiliiga I played, there was no VAR. And it was fine. I mean, there was, I didn't miss it. I wasn't like, listen, check it. Like, it felt free. And if you score a goal, you can actually celebrate. You can, but obviously, there's error in other leagues in the world as well. Everybody's make decision. It's not like VAR is perfect, but the problem with ours is that we either analyze it so long, which I don't understand, is because the quality is so bad. Like, listen, the quality is so horrendous that if you have to check those pixels and you can't even understand what's why do you even bother having VAR, then we should, if you have amazing cameras, okay, then let's have VAR, then it's actually worth it. But if we have this type of 140 44p cameras, then listen, what's the point, honestly?
I mean, yeah, the camera quality is better on this Zoom call than it is in Premier
I mean,
League.
honestly, it is. I mean, that's this currently is much better than the VAR, and that's a fact.
Yeah. See, we could talk about this for hours. One last thing I'd like to pick up on. The average attendance this season was 374 spectators, right? So it's actually a drop from the last two seasons. Last season it was 406. The year before that it was 396. Do you think there's a factor in why the attendance has dropped, or merely just a coincidence?
I think success brings fans to the stadium. Like, listen, Kalev is not fighting for a European spot, so I can understand why they don't really come to watch the games. I think Levadia as well were having troubles. I think, listen, you guys visited Estonia. You were in the games. You know, they like, listen, if they, that's the sad thing. If we have like a top team playing against smaller sides than those ultras, and they don't really come. They don't really like, they do care, they want to win, but they know that, listen, they probably win the game easily. Why should I come to the stadium? So yeah, I think that's just the reality of our culture. We are not that football oriented, that we don't have this type of passion. Yes, if national team comes, Norway comes, then everybody wants to come and see Holland play. You know, that's what we love. But our league is the games, they are not just that interesting for the fans.
Yeah, it's interesting because Levadia and Kalev are the two teams who saw the biggest drop. I know Kalev had their stuff going on, they raised their membership prices and all of that stuff, so that saw a steep decline. And obviously, everything that, as you said, success, Kalev had none. So it's yeah, pretty obvious. Only two teams had an increase, which is funny because one of them was Kuraisa. So it's, I don't know, for some reason I just find that amusing. But good for them if people want to go watch them. So, but yeah, I agree. Yeah, you can see it. Most people who come to watch it's just an afternoon out, right? It's not going to cheer on your team to watch the football. It's just something to do rather than, yeah.
But talking about success, it's the same if we take Yeovil Town, for instance. At the start of the season, there was what, 3,500 there? And we're now August, September, October, November, 4 months into the season, and attendance is a drop into under 2,000. So,
Yeah.
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 Yeah, success brings the fans.
Yeah. I think that kind of wraps up this brief season thing. We're going to do our end of season awards after this. Before we finish this one, Martin, what's your plans?
You mean now after my season with Elva?
Yeah.
I can't say it at the moment.
Okay.
It will be interesting, let's say it like that. It will be
Right.
like big changes.
Yeah. Yeah. I say, I know we're doing another one after this, but I do want to say, thanks for joining us this year, I think it's really helped us to have someone who knows the game, knows the league, to help us talk about it and give a proper insight into what happens, I suppose, because normally we just waffle shit amongst each other and it's not that good. And we've had positive feedback from you being here, and I appreciate it.
I mean, of course. I mean, what you guys have built with the pod, it's incredible. And yeah, ever since from nowadays, we've been in contact. And yeah, I mean, it's been a journey. And why not bring my knowledge as much as I have to the pod, So, of course, I'm happy to help you guys to be here to talk about football. And to promote the league, because listen, even though it's faulty, there's so many problems with it, but at the end of the day, still we love it. It's
Yeah,
close to our heart.
I love it. I love seeing like Curaçao playing on a shit turf, and like, yeah, that's what it's all about, right? It's great.
it's Saturday evening. You have nothing to do, and you think, listen, Kurasar is playing. In a shit turf. Why not? Why not just watch it?
Well, we even say it now. We'd be like, we look at the fixtures, and especially on a Sunday when we're not working, and you can like. Kura versus Tomaka. Oh, but yes, what a game. We'll watch that over the Manchester Derby any day of the week. Proper football, proper players, proper people.
But yeah, I mean, thank you guys for inviting me every single episode. It's been a pleasure. And yeah, we have one more episode with the awards coming up.
Buzzing. Can't wait. You're going to be full of arguments, no doubt. And reallys. Really? But yeah, I think that wraps up the end of season thing. So yeah, thanks for listening, and one more to go.
You.
Cheers.